This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, we'll hear about efforts to get more young voters to the polls. Starting us off this afternoon, a panel discussion examining how the media covered the shooting death of Sam DeBose will take place tomorrow evening at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. It's called Words and Images, a media debrief and community conversation. Joining us with a preview, Cincinnati Inquirer senior news editor Michael McCarter, Fox 19 morning news anchor Rob Williams, WCPO.com editor-in-chief Mike Cannon, and Hagit Lamour, University of Cincinnati Assistant Professor of Electronic Media, who will be moderating the panel discussion tomorrow evening. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Hagit, Mike, Rob, and Michael, thanks for being here today.
Glad to be here. Yeah. Thanks for
Pleasure.
Having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hagit, why is there a need for this conversation?
I think that if you consider what has happened in some other cities across America that have had shootings, police shootings that have been controversial, you haven't seen so much in the way of words as you have seen actions, some of them positive, some of them not so positive. I think part of what may distinguish Cincinnati is that we do talk, and this is an attempt to have a civil conversation about a topic of great importance to our community. We didn't see another forum of this kind available, and so the Society of Professional Journalists approached the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and asked, hey, would you be interested in a partnership? Let's put a program together. Let's get some of the key figures involved on a panel, as well as media representatives. And let's talk about how did we cover this event? How did we cover it in the initial stages as well as subsequently? And what can we learn from that? What did we do well? What did we not do so well? Let's talk about it. Because this is a conversation, I believe, should be taking place across America. Words that hopefully can lead to some sort of, if not healing, at least forward action.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this forum going to look at the pros and cons of the case itself, Hagit?
I cannot imagine that that won't come up. We're the Society of Professional Journalists, so in the belief of the First Amendment, it's not like we're going to cut off people from talking about anything that they care to bring up. Our main point will be to try to learn as professionals what we can do better next time any such issue arises. But I am certain that the facts of the case will come up. And one of the main things I want to make sure everybody knows is we're inviting the public. This is a free event at the Freedom Center tomorrow night at 7:30. And we're inviting the public to come and to ask their own questions. So we will relay those questions to the panel, and that will allow the community to have a voice to talk about whatever facets of this case they want.
Now, how many people are you expecting? Do you have any idea yet?
Well, we're hoping to fill all the seats. There are almost 300 seats in the Harriet Tubman Theater, and we have had more than 120 people RSVP as of yesterday, and a really big push of publicity is only now starting today. So we're hoping that more people come. We're inviting them to please come and join this community conversation.
Rob, how do you think that the media did overall covering the Sam DeBose Ray Tensing incident?
You know, I could just talk about myself and what we did in the morning. I think we did a good job. We were talking about when we were waiting to see if this police officer, Ray Tensing, was going to be indicted or not. And we had a long discussion in our news meeting from all different sides because we come from all different perspectives. And because that conversation lasted an hour, we decided to blow out 1 hour of the morning extra and invite people from the community, police officers, community leaders, prosecutors, to have an honest discussion about how the city was feeling. And I think that was like a plus for us. And I think that was us thinking outside of the box. And I think that's what's going to need to happen to make sure you can represent the community. And I also think that's one of the reasons why a news staff should represent the community it serves. Then you do your best job in terms of reflecting the community and what's happening in the community.
Do you think Hagit had a good point that in the way the media in Cincinnati handled this is one of the reasons why Cincinnati's response to this was different than what you saw in Baltimore or Ferguson or other places?
Yeah, well, I think people, which I think is great about the forum that's coming up tomorrow, people want to be heard. And if they're not heard, then they react in ways that are louder and sometimes violent and destructive. And I think here in Cincinnati, because of the collaborative agreement, I think people feel heard. However, we were nervous because Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters didn't immediately release that video. Now we know why. Now we know why, but you can kind of feel the rumblings because people need to have all the information in front of them, and it just needs to be transparent.
And the why was because the video was so intense. It's so emotional.
The video was so emotional. I think he didn't want to show it to the public before the family had a chance to see this video. And he knew there were going to be a lot of questions. And it's unusual to indict a police officer for murder. It's happened very rarely in this country, not just here in Cincinnati, but in this country. So I think he needed to make sure that everything was above the board, because I think most people feel that Joe Dieters is a reasonable person.
You know, one of the things that you just brought up was that body cam video. Yeah. And I think one of the discussions that we should have tomorrow night, and I'd love to hear what Mike and Mike will have to say about this, is the press conference that Joe Dieters had during which he released that video. The stations took it live, not knowing exactly what was on that video. What was the discussion that took place in various newsrooms, whether there should be a delay, not knowing what kind of video would appear? I think that is a question that I'm very interested to hear what everyone will say. What was the decision in the Fox 19 newsroom, if you recall?
When they played the, first of all, the tone of Joe Dieters kind of took me by surprise because he was so harsh, right? So when they played the video and we're all sitting there watching it in the newsroom, and unfortunately, time is not on your side. You're carrying it live, and people want to see the video. When Joe Dieters says, when you slow this down, you have very few questions about my decision. So when the video is played in actual time, in real time, you really can't see anything. You hear kind of a struggle or a scuffle. And so we decided to slow down that video, and we had a lot of people look at it before we made a decision to stop it, before that gun actually fires.
Hey, Gee, didn't some of the stations not even run the audio at first?
Yeah, people made various decisions, which I find to be very interesting. And especially I want the public to hear about the discussions that we have. I think a lot of times members of the public think that we just want to go with the sensational and we don't really think through our decisions. But the fact of the matter is we have intense conversations, lengthy conversations, because we want to give information. That's our main job, but we want to do it responsibly.
Well, the conversation that we had at the Inquirer started the night before. We knew this was going to be released. We talked about it and initially had the decision that we were going to go with it live. We do stream live video on our site as well. But after listening to how intense Joe Dieters was, we made a split decision, a split second decision, to not to turn the camera away from the video screen until we knew what we were going to be broadcasting across the internet. And that was just partially just a sensitivity issue. We wanted to make sure that we weren't, because you just said it, we are often accused of trying to sensationalize things. Mm-hmm. And we were very mindful that we wanted to be careful and thoughtful about how we released the video and what was seen.
Mike,
I think similar discussions went on in probably everybody's newsroom, because not having seen the video, to try to make a judgment of what is going to be displayed on your product was a super challenge, because obviously there was an intense interest to see the video from the public and, of course, from the media, too, because everyone was wondering what exactly happened. And so to try to figure out, okay, now they're going to be playing this video live, and everyone, I think, was streaming that video live. I think everyone panned off of it, but WLWT, I think they stayed on it. I believe they were the station that stayed on it and showed the whole thing. But I think we were the first to pan away, because we just didn't know at what moment this thing was going to turn bad. And to just, you know, nobody, I mean, I personally, having seen the video, I wish I hadn't had to have seen that video. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see someone get shot.
It's gut-wrenching, like, yeah.
And it's just one of those things that you don't want to expose people to. I think anyone who was watching that video sort of knew what was coming. It's like watching the movie The Titanic. You know the boat's going to sink, but you just don't want to have to see it. And to give people the choice to not see it, I think, is an essential part of things. And then
I also think this, then, I mean, in terms of the video and people seeing it, regardless of what that video is, but in this case, it was the body camera. I think as an anchor or as a journalist, I think it's important for you to put that video into perspective. And I think that's one of your main jobs in terms of giving people information that they can use. You know, I mean, when Joe Dieters talked about, you know, the errors that this police officer made, you can look at the video and see that, you know, the officer over and over said, you know, try to run over with me, try to run over me. And as a person looking at the video, you can actually point out, we don't ever see him in front of the car. We see him behind the car. We see him beside the car. But I think as a news anchor, you can put that kind of into perspective. And I knew where that hill was because I was driving by that scene the day before. We all covered it the next morning. So on that Sunday, I'm driving home in an Uber after visiting some friends. And I look over to the side on the street that goes up a hill into Mount Auburn, and I saw way too many police officers for this to be routine. And so I knew that it was on a grade. And so you can kind of put that into perspective for your viewers, I think.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that's a really important part of things, too, is so of course, you have the live stream of the video during the press conference. And then after that, there's the, okay, we got to get the video up in a more permanent way so people can play it back and see it. And what do you show then? And that's a different discussion of what you show.
Correct.
Because you have the capability. Now you've seen it. And also you have tools at your disposal. You can blur parts of it. You can edit parts of it. You can change the way it's presented so that people don't have to see that moment.
Because you know that the internet is wide open for any age, for anyone to access. And so now you have this whole ethical discussion about what do we put on that's available permanently in our record?
Yeah, and you can put a disclaimer on things, but, you know, a disclaimer can only get you so far. And there are things that I think a disclaimer is really valuable for, and sometimes it's still like, even with a disclaimer, do I want to do that? Is that something that I feel like is morally right as a journalist? And so, you know, I think this was handled in a bunch of different ways, but the way we decided to handle it was not to edit the video, but to blur the point of impact kind of moment, because we didn't want to edit the video because the timeline was so important and the action was so important of what actually happened. You know, the dispute of was he dragged or not, if you start editing, even if you just take out a couple seconds just so that you don't show that moment, it's like, well, how much did they cut out? How much did they edit?
You know, exactly.
Was he really dragged and that part got cut out by someone editing it?
Sure.
Kind of thing? So you have to be really careful about that kind of thing.
Yeah, we even had discussions about whether, I mean, because the entire video that was released is rather long, but there are other images that I think most of us chose to not use in the video at the end, down at the bottom of the hill, because it was much more graphic than at the top of the
hill. Sure.
And Michael, this is something that's fairly new for a newspaper. I mean, in the past, you had all kinds of time to develop a story, but now because of the digital age, the internet, social media,
we are all in competition with each
that's
other.
That's right.
Yeah. And everybody wants it first.
And the other thing is that we're not discussing here, that I think is truly important, is that I think people make very little distinction these days about where their news comes from, whether
exactly.
It's video or just words. If they see it on social media, or if they see it on a station's website and it's streaming or a video story, a lot of people don't make a distinction between what was put there by I don't know who on social media and what was put on there by a journalist.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, Cincinnati Enquirer Senior News Editor Michael McCarter, Fox 19 Morning News Anchor Rob Williams, WCPO.com Editor-in-Chief Mike Cannon, and Hagit Limor, University of Cincinnati Assistant Professor of Electronic Media, who's going to be moderating the panel discussion tomorrow evening on how the media covered the shooting death of Sam DeBose. You can join the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Hagit, in your class, did you have this conversation with students, what they've thought
so
far?
Well, you can imagine it was the University of Cincinnati Police Department that was involved. There has been a group called the Irate 8 that has formed since. All of the students are definitely concerned about this. And there's a lot of discussion going on, not just about what happened here, but the national conversation about police shootings of unarmed Black males in particular. And so it has bubbled forth. And in many ways, I suppose it is a teaching moment. It's not the kind that you wish to have, to start with a situation that is so tragic. But it does help us to talk about how different communities handle things, and also to show the students that this is an industry, the media industry, which is much maligned. I think we rank along with lawyers as far as what the public thinks
Congress.
Of us. But look at what we're doing here on this program and what we plan to do at the Freedom Center tomorrow night. We constantly evaluate how we handle things. We're very concerned with ethics and with learning from what we have covered to try to make sure that it's better the next time around. So that is also, I think, a very important conversation to have with the students, to teach them that this is the kind of industry that you will continue to grow and learn and look inward a lot.
What's your assessment? How do you think that the local news departments did in covering this?
Well, everybody handled it differently, but while I have issues with some specific things that happened, I think on the whole, everybody did very well considering the situation and how it unfolded and how it continued. And the fact that we were fighting for the body cam video, actually, a lot of the media outlets got together and filed action together.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that was really good. If I have to throw a stone, and it's certainly something I want to talk about tomorrow night, is the initial imaging. You brought up images earlier, Rob. The initial imaging that came out, because when this first happened, the photos that emerged, and I'm not talking just print, this was in TV as well, showed the photo of the officer in his uniform next to a mugshot of Mr. DeBose. But
except with us.
Okay, so talk about it.
Well, that was one of the things. While we always want to have the most current image of any individual that we show, whether it's on our website or in print, I thought that, and I'm a former visuals editor, photo director, I thought long and hard about putting a victim's mugshot up while putting up someone who has now been accused and indicted for a serious crime, putting up his photo in uniform standing in front of an American flag.
Correct.
Because
it sends an image.
It does.
Absolutely.
And it sends a story. You may say there are no words here, but it sends a story. I mean,
what's the old saying, Rob? Picture is worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth
it's
in this case?
It's so powerful, because a lot of times you look at the picture and you don't even read the text, if there's any text underneath that picture. The one thing that I feel that we could have done better is when we had that panel discussion, we started it off with all the unrest. This was before the indictment came. It was all the unrest that we've seen across the country, whether it was in New York, Baltimore, or in Ferguson, Missouri. And we went through each story, kind of just doing a setup for this forum discussion. And Damon, I'll never forget this, Damon Lynch III said, you know, you showed all these scenes, but you never showed the victims who were shot by police as human beings. And I said during that forum, I said, you know what? I copped that. You're absolutely right. We should think more about the images that we put out there every single time.
Don called with a question. He wants to talk about the balancing of the public's need to know with not showing all of the violent content that was in this video.
That's a very, very fine line, because there's a lot of distrust out there. There's a lot of distrust with the media. There's a lot of distrust with
police.
The community struggles with knowing what that truth is, and sometimes you have to actually see it yourself in order to believe. I've had, in a different case, which we won't go into here because it will just make your phones go off the hook. we've requested video, and I've had some very angry people say, "Well, the police told you everything they needed that you need to know." Well, if we had taken that in this case, the DuBose case, if you remember the initial statements, if we said, "Well, they told us everything we need to know. We're not fighting for the video. We're not going to press this," that would have been a huge
It would have been a factually incorrect story that would have stood the test of time. And we are living in a time now when people want to experience the news as much as is possible themselves. That's what the digital age is. People don't want to just read about something from some witness. If they can experience a portion of it themselves by seeing it or attending something, that's what they want to do.
And draw their own conclusion.
Correct.
And if there is a little bit of mistrust out there, then I think it's important to show as much as you can so there are no questions about your story.
And Mike, you wanted to weigh in as well?
Yeah, I completely agree. UW Scripps were based here in Cincinnati, and our company motto is give light and the people will find their own way. And I think it's really important, as the digital age has evolved, when we can give people so much more than we ever could when we were just a TV station or just a newspaper, to allow people to experience what they feel like they need to experience with the story. And that's why I think this case was just so in particularly challenging, because you had to weigh that instinct as a journalist to like let people in and let people understand firsthand or as close to firsthand as they possibly can. But you also had to weigh that against what potential harm is this causing? And those are tricky, tricky issues. And honestly, I don't think there's any right or wrong answer. I think there's some things that might not have gone over well with the community, or some things that might have been more harmful had different media outlets made different decisions. But at the end of the day, this isn't easy stuff. And I think it's important that the community understands that everyone on this panel tomorrow and everyone on this call right now and discussion with the listeners, we agonize about these decisions. We want to make the best decision we can, and no one is jumping into any decision lightly.
I'm talking with Cincinnati Inquirer senior news editor Michael McCarter, Fox 19 morning news anchor Rob Williams, WCPO.com editor-in-chief Mike Cannon, and Hagit Lamour, University of Cincinnati assistant professor of electronic media. Thanks to Stephen Fisk for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. Mike, do you think is it really possible to get a rapidly developing story such as what we just saw with this? Is it possible to get it correct from the start?
Well, I think the story changes. I think we as the media report the facts as correctly as they emerge. And, you know, what happened in the beginning of this case and what the story was when we first found out about it was different than what the information was once we had the Joe Dieters press conference and received all this bulk of material and information. And so I think that everyone was accurately reporting the information we had. If all the information was available right from the get-go, it would be a much more simple process, but the story evolves and the story develops, and you have to be really on your toes, because you have to know not only what do I know, but what might I not know. And so you have to be really careful about how you portray things or characterize things, because you don't know in some cases what other information is going to come out and what actually happened because you weren't there.
Michael, what do you think?
I totally agree with that. I mean, one of the things as we try to present the news as quickly and as accurately as possible that we do is we gut check and we double check and we fact check before we just put it out there. There used to be a thought that you could post things on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and well, if you made a mistake, you could go back and fix it. But that is publishing. And as a media outlet and as a journalist, you want to be very careful that you're only putting factual information out there. And you know, we really do want to make sure that we're doing no harm to the community that we're in and we're serving. So it's we really do agonize over that, over decisions of how quickly to put information out and make sure that it's accurate.
Because in the big picture, we are creating the history of this community by our reporting. Yeah. This is the record that will stand. This is how we will be judged in the future. This is how our community will grow from what it learns. It's a huge responsibility, and we take it that way.
Hey, Geet, it sounds like go ahead, Mike.
Well, and especially in this day and age when people sometimes make quick decisions about what they think about a situation, and they hold on to those decisions steadfastly. So in this case, the release of information at that Joe Dieters press conference was a huge amount of change in thought process and paradigm about what the story was and what happened. But sometimes those changes, when more information comes out, aren't quite so substantial. And if someone already has formed an opinion, it might be really hard to shake them off that opinion, even if that opinion is maybe not entirely accurate based on the reporting that came out in dribs and drabs as the media was able to get information.
So, Geet, it sounds like with this forum, what you're hoping to do is generate a conversation, get a lot of input from the public. Is this going to help shape how the media covers this type of story in the future, what you hear from the public tomorrow?
We sure hope that we'll learn some lessons on how to do things better the next time. We're always striving to improve our coverage. Every single media outlet in this city, and I would venture to say probably in this country, is always striving to do things better. I think it also will provide an opportunity for people in the community to find a voice, to express that voice, to ask questions of the huge decision makers in this case. I mean, we're going to have, for the very first time, sitting together, the attorneys representing both sides of this case, both Mr. Tensing's side and Mr. DeBose. And we're going to have City Manager Harry Black sitting at that table. We're going to have Erica Betts from the Cincinnati Human Relations Rights Commission. And then we're going to have the top leaders in the newsrooms of the major media outlets in this city. This is a wonderful opportunity for people in the community to ask all kinds of questions.
Yeah, I'm excited to be a part of this, especially when Geet just listed the names of people who are going to be there. I mean, Harry Black, not only is he the city manager here, he came from Baltimore. Baltimore has had its share of problems. But I think the most important thing is that people are honest with how they're feeling, or else it's going to be for nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We have to
not be scared about how we may be judged when we say those words. And when we hear those words from other people, we have to be, it's really important for us not to judge.
Thanks, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. Cincinnati Inquirer Senior News Editor Michael McCarter, Fox 19 Morning News Anchor Rob Williams, WCPO.com Editor-in-Chief Mike Cannon, and Geet Lamort, University of Cincinnati Assistant Professor of Electronic Media. Words and Images, a media debrief and community conversation will be held tomorrow evening from 7:30 to 9 at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. You can find a link to more information at WVXU.org. Coming up, trends in youth voting and efforts to get more young people engaged in elections. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.